So many timely subjects have been discussed today, beginning with the great address by President Lee, that I have been edified, and I'm sure that you have as well. And now I humbly pray that I may not detract, but may add a little bit to your thinking and doing as we consider the second great principle of the gospel. I feel there is need for it. The primary purpose of the gospel and of the church is to provide a pattern and for living and a prescription for happiness and success here and hereafter. President McKay declared on many occasions that next in importance to life itself is the privilege of directing that life. To direct one's life is a privilege. It is also a real personal responsibility. Speaking to his sons, Lehi explained this by saying, "Wherefore, men are free. They are free to choose liberty and eternal life, or to choose captivity and death, according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate and bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. Because sin is such a devastating, destructive force, the great principle of repentance was provided by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to extricate ourselves from the clutches of sin. Without the blessed privilege of repentance, we would have but little incentive to improve our lives. Repentance isn't easy. It takes ability, takes self-discipline and humility. Repentance is not a negative teaching, but rather it is a positive process of building good character. Repentance could become a remedy for most of our spiritual ills. However, it is not a mere superficial, shallow-rooted expression of regret. What then is true repentance? President Joseph F. Smith declared that true repentance is not only sorrow for sin, but humble penitence and contrition before God. But it involves also the necessity of turning away from our sins, a discontinuance of all evil practices and deeds, a thorough reformation of life, a vital change from evil to good, from vice to virtue, from darkness to light. Not only this, but to make restitution, so far as it is possible, from all the wrongs that we have done to others, to pay our debts, to restore to God and to man their rights, which are due them from us. This is true repentance, and the exercise of the will and the powers of the body and the mind are demanded to complete this glorious work of repentance. Only then will God accept it. If one truly repents, it will be manifested by his works. For by this ye may know that a man repenteth of his sins. Behold, he will confess them and forsake them. Thus, repentance calls for heartfelt sorrow for sin, resulting not only in a cessation thereof, but also in the reformation of his life. That's the important thing, a reformation of life. To repent isn't exactly popular these days. Yet the Lord expects each one of us to repent, to improve, and to conscientiously reform our lives. In fact, he set for us a lofty goal, saying, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Admittedly, this is an imperfect world. Nevertheless, each of us should be constantly striving toward perfection. Let him who steals steal no more. Let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Destroy your enemies by making them your friends. Let the unkind among us become considerate. Let the truth be spoken always, no matter what the consequences may be. Yes, and I'd like to add Brother Packer's recommendation that we rid ourselves of the unmusical music and adopt some that does the soul and the heart good and must be pleasing to the Lord. We can at least do that in our own homes. To practice these virtues gives evidence of forsaking wrong. We ought not to let personal faults and bad habits and moral weaknesses persist. They should be overcome and corrected without delay. I have often said you can't repent too soon because you don't know how soon it'll be too late. One of my distant Scandinavian relatives who was thriving financially in Denmark came with his family as converts to the church to America, and they were directed to settle in San Pete County. He was quite well-to-do, as I said, and he sold his lands and herds and flocks for what he could and came without complaint. And for a while he did well as far as the church and his activities are concerned. But amazingly, even without the rainfall and the water and the resources, he began to thrive again and accumulated wealth again. He became so interested and involved in his possessions that he forgot about the purpose of his coming to America. They waited upon him as ward teachers. The bishop would call upon him and implore him to become active as he used to be. And he would promise them that in the future, when he got certain things settled at all, that he would do it. Finally, he was growing old, and they came and said to him, "Now, Lars, the Lord was good to you when you were in Denmark. He has been good to you since you've come here. See all the things that you possess. We think now, since you're growing a little older, that it'd be well for you to spend some of your time in the interests of the church. After all," they said, "you can't take these things with you when you go." And he stopped. He was shocked. And he said, well, then I will not go." But he did. And so will we. It's time today to begin the program and process of repenting. My brothers and sisters, you know and I know that the power of the destroyer is persistently, relentlessly operating upon the minds and hearts of the children of men, young and old, in the church and out of the church. And too many are yielding to his evil enticements. We've been warned by the Lord and by our leaders through the years to repent. President Lee this morning urged us to begin with ourselves and develop self-respect And beginning there, set out on a purpose, on the real purpose of life. We've been supplied with heaven-sent programs, such as the Family Home Evening Program, to keep our families secure and our homes intact. It has been predicted that in the last days, men shall become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others he will pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well. Yea, all is well in Zion. Zion prospereth. On all is well, and thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. I like that word carefully because that's the way he operates. He never jerks, he never pulls, just gradually, step by step. Now in this situation, in the world today, let us remember the admonition of James. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist evil, and he will, and the devil will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. May we all repent and place our lives and our homes in order. And in perfect harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray, testifying to the truthfulness of the restored gospel. And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.